Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews Okome. So let's get started.
Hey, hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here. And today in the guest chair, we have Erica Chambers, the CEO and co-founder of Puzzles of Color. Now, I really enjoyed what Erica had to say about how she and her brother co-founded this business smack dab in the middle of the pandemic. She used that idle time to really think through something that her and her family had done for years, which is building puzzles together. And the one thing they realized was lacking were puzzles that showcase people of color. And after trying to get other people to do it, Erica and her brother finally realized it was up to them to solve this problem. So we get into how they started, how they're growing, how they're realizing what to take off their plate and what to keep on their plate, and so much more. So let's get right into it. Welcome to the guest chair, Erica. So happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, Erica, can you share a little bit more about, you know, who you are, what you currently do, and what your business is?
Sure. Absolutely. I am Erica Chambers. My business is Puzzles of Color, and we actually work with artists of color exclusively to license their pieces and turn them into puzzles. So we have anything from some smaller, like 60-piece puzzles, all the way up to 1,000-piece puzzles, with the majority of our puzzles being 500 and 1,000-piece. It's a family-run business. My brother and I are, like, you know, in the daily grind of also very involved parents that are there. Also really help with the business as well. We have been in business since July of 2020. So we are a pandemic baby.
Wow. So yeah. You are obviously a side hustler. Now tell me, was this your first experience with side hustling, or have you started other side businesses before?
This is my first experience. My brother is a lot more adventurous as far as, like, has always wanted to have his own business. He's had several throughout, his lifetime.
Okay.
But I've always thought about being an entrepreneur, but never actually done it. So this is my first, like, official step in that world. And this is, my first time.
Oh, cool. So why Puzzles of Color? How did this come to be? And, you know, where did the inspiration come from?
We actually grew up doing puzzles as a family since we were very, very young, like elementary school age. My mom always had made sure that we had a puzzle to do to keep us entertained during the winter break. She's a lawyer, so she's like, I don't have time to like keep up with you kids. You're out of school, but I still have to work. And so like it was something that she gave us as like a way to keep us entertained, to keep us like out of her hair, basically. And we just really, you know, enjoyed it and glommed onto it. Like for years, we did the same puzzle over and over. And then every year we just got excited about like, what puzzle are we going to buy this year? Are we going to do 1,000 pieces? Are we going to do 1,500? Like we just kept growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
And so as we got older, we realized like we were never finding, my mom was really big about like making sure there was representation. And so for her, if it was not a Black person on it, or like, she's of course, you know, appreciate all races, but she's like, I want you to see Black people because we lived in a lot of predominantly white neighborhoods and schools. And so for her, like she was looking for puzzles that have Black people and it was really difficult to do. We found a few, but not very many. And so as I got older, I noticed that was still an issue. And so when I was pregnant back in 2019, I was doing a puzzle, putting a puzzle together to put in my nursery. And I realized like, I cannot find a Black puzzle to save my life.
Oh, man.
And so that was kind of like where I said like, hey, William, you have a friend that's an artist. Like, you think she would be interested in turning that piece that I love so much into a puzzle? And then we just like, you know, grew from there.
So William being your brother?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So at that time, did you think it would become a business or were you just thinking, I want to commission this one time puzzle artwork?
Well, the idea was a one-time thing. And I specifically said, hey, you should tell Kwanzaa, this, which is the artist, you should tell her to make puzzles. And like, that was like lobbying it over to somebody else.
Always trying to give somebody else a business. You should make this for me. Yeah.
Exactly. But then my brother, of course, with his entrepreneur history and experience was like, oh, that's a great business idea. Like we should do this. And then, you know, from there, we started like looking at other artists, looking at the manufacturing, like really trying to get all the details so that we could, you know, turn it into a business. But I will say we definitely have grown much faster than we ever anticipated.
Yeah, that's what happens when you hit on a need, you know?
Very true.
Where did you even begin? You said you started researching factories and things like that. I mean, do you just kind of Google factory that makes puzzles? How do you even start that process?
I tell you, that is the hardest part. That was a very hard part. Like, just like figuring out how do puzzles get made? And so we looked up different companies and we were trying to figure out like, well, how can we make this happen? And a lot of the companies that we reached out to just based on like the quantities that we were like, we don't know what the audience is. So we're like, can we order 50, you know? And they were like, oh, that'll be $40 per puzzle or something crazy.
Wow.
Like the amounts were like stupid high. And we were like, that's not feasible. Like we can't sell for that. So from there, we ended up actually, I found a book that's called How to Start a Puzzle Business Like I Did or something like that.
What?
It's literally,
there's
it's
a book for everything.
Long sentence.
Yeah.
Yes. And so a person who had a similar experience of trying to find, you know, how to make a puzzle, ended up saying like, hey, I did all the research. So you don't have to. And so I read the book like literally overnight and we had like, it was Juneteenth. Was like everybody, we were all my family was off work. So we like went at my mom's house, had a barbecue, and I was like, okay, I read the book. This is what we need. And we started to like search for like a roller dye machine and like the kind of board you need to, and like a company that can print and mount and all this stuff.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And what I love about that story too, is the fact that it's Juneteenth and you're like, all right, guys, here is how we are going to start this family business. You know, like how symbolic is that on that date? So now these pieces start coming together, but you work full time. So how does your experience and what you do full time, if at all, how does that help with you starting a business and applying that to your own business?
Well, you know, that is one thing that's beautiful about, you know, being in a family business is that my brother and I are very complimentary of each other. So he is a creative, like he works with all the artists and like finds the pieces. And he has actually, he used to work in printing, for a printing company. He's a graphic designer. He did our logo. And so he has that knowledge and that experience. Mm-hmm. And then on my end, I actually went to school for event management. But I ended up in the corporate world doing project management and process management. Okay. And so I had like that very organized experience. I knew like, how do we get this project done? Like if we say we want a collection by this day, what are the steps to get to that point? And so I kind of handle like the business side of like making sure we get our goals, and he handles like the creative side.
That project management experience, I mean, that alone just comes in handy. So, and I mean, your hospitality experience, I'm sure too, just dealing with different personality types, like, which like I can kind of tell 100%. The hospitality background, but okay. I really love that. So now you guys are starting things up. Besides like getting the materials and the physical aspect of the business together, what are some things you started to consider about, you know, what you really need if you're going to make this a serious business, a long-term thing? Like, what are some ducks that you started to get into a row?
Well, you know, of course, just the general stuff of like licensing your business. Like William, when we had a lot of different company names in our head, and he was like Googling them all, like, okay, does this already exist? Like, you know, we need to go ahead and get the name registered, all that kind of stuff, like that generic, just every business needs to have.
And when you say registered, you mean get your trademark for it?
Yeah, well, not the trademark. We actually didn't apply for that for a while, but like getting registered with the state and getting your name, licensed.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that because I like that you talk about doing it later, because a lot of people get really hung up on, oh, I got to trademark this and all this other stuff. And, you know, that could come later as long as your name's not taken, you know, and you register it and you start putting it in use. Not legal advice, y'all. Disclaimer, not legal advice. But so many times people change their names. And so they start this trademark process and you're not even going to end up using that name. So 100%.
And we changed our name over time. So we started, we were going to be Puzzles by Us or something like that. I don't remember. And we had registered, like not registered, but like we had like created a Facebook page and I think we did register it with the state. But then over time, like I was up in the middle of the night breastfeeding and was like, you know what, like if we really are talking about like we're working with artists of color, we're, you know, wanting to uplift and show representation, like why not Puzzles of Color to play on like people of color? And so from there, you know, we decided to change everything, change up our name and change how we branded like our color scheme and everything. So it kind of grew.
I love the name. And I'm almost like, wow, that wasn't taken. Like that is just so, I like straightforward names. Like I'm that person that I love a straightforward name because it just makes branding so much easier. It just makes like marketing so much easier. Like, yes, you still have to put dollars behind ads and things like that. But when people see the ads, they know what you are. They don't have to take 10 more seconds to try to figure out what your business is.
That was the plan. Yeah.
So what have been some of the challenges as you got started? You know, it sounds like it started to sound linear, almost like you did this and you did that and then everything started to come together. But were there any tough moments and how did you deal with them?
There have been a series of tough moments. I definitely have had moments where I was just laying in bed, like, why did I do this to myself?
Like, no one told
I
me
was
to start
living
this business.
A perfectly fine life. And why did I set myself up for all of this work? Mm. It is a constant struggle. We were very fortunate in that my mother just knows people. She actually went to high school with a person who's actually a local CBS newscaster. And so she said, hey, we're starting this business and you really should cover us. And he decided to cover us. And then from there, we got national news coverage and we were on CBS This Morning and a few other shows, which was fantastic. However, that was literally, I think we had started selling in October and they put us on the news in January.
Okay.
And so there was a significant,
spike.
a lot of attention put on us suddenly, a significant spike, that's the word. And so from there, we ended up, we actually used to cut in-house. That was the way the book taught us, like, this is how you make your own puzzles. And the good thing about that is during COVID, a lot of the puzzle companies were not taking new customers. And so even if we wanted to hire a company, a manufacturing company, we could not find any. And so we learned how to cut our own puzzles. And that was really the story that was shown across CBS and, you know, all the different news casters. And so from there, we got an influx of orders, like thousands of orders within moments, and could no longer keep that up, because literally I think we knew that we were going to be on the news. Like, we filmed it in December and then it aired in January, so we knew that it was coming. So we, like, every single day we're cutting as many puzzles as we could, and I think we had maybe cut like 2,000 puzzles. And we sold out before the show had even aired in our city.
Wow.
Because it airs, of course, on the East Coast first. And we were like, why are all these sales coming in? We haven't even shown on the TV. It hasn't came up yet, and didn't know that it actually does not air simultaneously. So, so yeah, we had to, you know, handle, like, you know, a lot of customer service things of like, hey, I'm so sorry, there is going to be a significant delay in you getting your order.
And did you have any help with this at this point? Like, when you're cutting, I mean, you're also working full time. So, like, are you cutting mostly on weekends? Because every day can't be devoted to cutting these puzzles and responding to people. So how are you managing that new influx?
Absolutely. So exactly. We cut as much as we could. I mean, I was cutting every day. This is at my garage. But my brother doesn't live with me. My parents don't live with me. So they were coming on the weekends to cut. My brother actually at the time was working part-time. And so he was able to come, you know, a few days a week. And we ended up hiring a friend of his that was laid off during COVID. And she was cutting literally all day while I was in meetings. And I was like, I just hear the machine running in the background. So we were cutting, you know, every day, but it was definitely significantly, you know, not nearly as many as days as we needed.
Oh my goodness. And then customer service, was that you or your friend that you hired? Or
that was person? Me. I handled every single handle every single email that comes in. And I, like, even like just after the show aired, it was just a lot of stuff was just people saying like, oh, thank you so much, I love this idea, you know, that kind of stuff. And like, I made sure that we responded to every single email, because I'm like, they took time out of their day to go to the CBS website, to go to our website, to send us this message. And like, that is so special to us. So we responded to every single email.
Would you say it's improved since then? So that was in, you said, January. Now, how is it feeling like as the year went on? Like, how did you get a handle on managing demand, managing supply, and managing fulfillment?
Well, from there, we did, I mean, I know you're talking about challenges. Like, one of the big challenges was, like, eventually we knew that this was not sustainable. We have to hire a manufacturing company. And so we hired a company that was just getting into the puzzle business, which was a good thing because it means they could take our orders when other people were saying, no, we're not taking anymore. But it was a bad thing in that they had a lot of issues. And so like, they would say, they told us we would get our puzzles by mid-February. We didn't get them from them until April or May. Wow. And so that was an issue. We ended up, so we've gone through different manufacturers. But eventually we finally have gotten to a better place there. Where we now have a manufacturer that we work with. We have a couple of manufacturer sources that we can work with. And, you know, we have puzzles in-house where we can, like, ship them out as soon as the orders come in. And that has just significantly made things much easier and a lot less stressful.
So you have more inventory in-house now.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. And what made you decide to launch a business during the pandemic? Like, what? I love the fact that, you know, so many people were, I mean, that it was a rough time and a lot of people were discouraged from doing anything, but you were encouraged to start this whole new business. why do you think that is?
Well, you know, this podcast is about side hustle. For me, it was actually the thing that really made the decision for me was after I got back from maternity leave, because I had the idea. We had the idea in 2019.
Yeah.
Didn't start the business until 2020. But my daughter, I came back from maternity leave and my job had changed. They'd moved me to a different apartment. I was doing some of the same work, but I was doing a lot of different work because at my day job, I do a lot of things involving events, and there were no events during COVID. And so with that, I was like, I am just not in my passion. And we have this idea that I would be very passionate about. So it was kind of like, if I'm going to be doing something that I don't love, like, how do I balance that? And how do I find something to make myself feel, you know, fulfilled outside of this job? And so that was kind of the reason why we started during the pandemic. And also just like, hey, we're not doing anything on the weekends. We're not going out, you know? So yeah, like we can afford to start this business. And it worked out well for us because like we had like our, you know, little COVID bubble, like where we saw each other. We didn't ever have like that feeling of isolation that so many people were having. Because we were constantly around each other. So the pandemic worked out in that way.
Yeah, that's really, I love hearing stories like this because, you know, it's so hard to hear when people, you know, have gone through this time. And while it's understandable, I think it's also nice to hear of like stories like this where you were able to channel that into something positive and really grow it from there. What about upfront costs in terms of, you know, a lot of times people invest a lot of money on the upfront side into their materials and their supply, you know, all the cost of goods, and they don't see that profit for a while. What's been your experience with Puzzles of Color?
Well, we were really lucky in that the upfront costs weren't insane. Like the machine itself, like we sourced around and found like we ended up buying a brand new machine, but we bought it from overseas. And so it was significantly cheaper. We were looking at some used and things like that. The dyes and all that stuff, we knew that like margin wise, we were okay. And we knew that if we buy, you know, X amount of the puzzles already on the boards, that we'd cut them and we'd sell them for a certain amount. And so we knew that we could balance it out. Like, oh, if we sell 100 puzzles, then we'll break even or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so the upfront costs luckily were not too bad. The maintenance costs are a different story.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.
So what's involved in maintenance?
Well, for us, now that we have, you know, a manufacturer, and, you know, sometimes we're going overseas, but sometimes we're local. It gets really expensive. The shipping of things, and the cost of, like, now with the volume that we're buying is so much higher than what we were buying before. And so that's a lot more upfront costs, you know, and then, you know, hope that that puzzle sells as well as you hope it will. And so that part, it's like, oh, this is a pretty expensive to keep up, but but, you know, it takes money to make money, I guess is what they say.
It takes money to make money. Are you having to, like, pour almost all of it back into, like, the next big batch order, or are you able to retain some of that to hire more to pay yourselves? Like, how has it been? Because, I mean, it's less than 2 years old.
Yeah. So we did not pay ourselves the whole, we paid ourselves, I think, well, actually, no, we didn't. I was going to say we paid ourselves the first year, but we didn't. We just started paying ourselves this year, in 2022. So I was like, listen, this is too much work for me to not see anything out of it. Like, you know, the whole point of this was to get paid. And so I was like, that was like one of the things that I said is the absolute goal this year is to pay ourselves, even though we are putting a significant amount back into the business. Yes. So, you know, we're paying ourselves technically, but not enough to live off of.
It's still something. I like that you set that goal. And, you know, what did it take to achieve that goal in terms of product mix? I'm really curious because you touched on, I hope this puzzle sells. Mm-hmm. So are you doing any kind of consumer research first and trying to figure out what's the right amount of puzzles to have on the site? How can we test a puzzle before we go and invest in making a whole bunch? What's that process like?
It's still very much a work in progress. We have done, like, I know one puzzle we have that just came out is called Sisters, and it was actually done by the same artist that did our puzzle that we did in the first collection called Black Boy Joy, and people were asking for that puzzle. They'd seen it on, like, the picture our artist picture. It was in the background, and they were like, where is that? I want that. Like, where is that behind her? And so we've had a few where it was like, okay, there's a demand for this, like, or, you know, they may be like, oh, I see that we have a puzzle with a father and son. Can I get up? Where's the mom? You know, that kind of thing. So we've had, you know, some feedback as far as that is concerned. And we've been able to try to find something within that realm. But it is still very, it's also like, hey, we don't have this yet. Like, let's try a puzzle with this and see what happens. And then also knowing your demographics, like, we know that, like, we have a lot of female buyers. We know the age ranges that we're working with. And so from there, we kind of think of, like, what is in the mindset of those consumers.
Speaking of those consumers, now let's touch more on marketing. Now, I know I said that the name speaks for itself. It does, you know, part of the work for you. But after the CBS story aired and, you know, that dies down a little bit, how do you maintain the marketing? What are some things that you do to generate interest and awareness of your brand?
You know, we have not run an ad campaign yet. We have been very fortunate in that we got a huge mailing list after CBS, and we were just recently on The View, and we got an influx of mailing list there. And so from there, we've really just been able to kind of, like, send a lot of, like, marketing emails to our existing list. But I think where we do spend money is events. We have gone to, we just came back from South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. We were just at a trade show that we went to in February. So we're trying to like get out there because we know one thing we do know is like when people see us, they buy. Yes. And they may not, they know, you know, you may not always get them on social media ads, but like when they see you in person, they really, it's like, oh, wow, I have to have that. So we actually attended the state fair. We're in Texas. So this Texas State Fair last year, and that's like a month long event. We only did half of it, but we just like got a huge influx of people from there. And that's like just where we really spend a lot of our money is like events. And then we also do have like, of course, like a lot of cross promotion with our artists. Like if our artist has an event going on, we are promoting that. And then the artists are also, of course, promoting their puzzle because they get a percentage of all the sales.
Okay. And thank you for mentioning that because I was curious about that. Do you work with more than one artist? Do you?
Yeah. Yep. We have out of the, you know, 14 puzzles, we have 13 artists. So yeah, we actually...
Was that a conscious decision to go with more than one person rather than like have one artist do many different puzzles?
Yeah. Yeah. We, I mean, there are definitely some artists where we're like, oh my gosh, you have so much great stuff. Like we're going to have to come back to you. But we did make a conscious decision of working with multiple artists because like we want to give multiple artists that platform that we provide. And then also it's really good because we have different styles. Like, so you may not love the art of Blossom, but you may love Do What Makes You Happy or, you know, whatever. Like you, it gives everybody a chance to find something that speaks to them.
Right. And matches your aesthetic a little bit more.
Exactly.
Because I imagine some people are, you do the puzzle, then you want to frame it and just like, you know, have it as art. So
absolutely.
I think that's a really cool decision. Now, you mentioned your email list. So, you know, email lists, they're one of those things that sometimes people think it's really easy or it will just come, you know, organically. People will go to your website, but it actually takes some skill to get people to give you that email, especially if they haven't purchased yet.
Yeah.
So, what are some tips that you've learned in your journey so far? What really helps with building that email list?
Well, we have like a pop-up just automatically on our website. And my brother fought me over that. He was like, I was like, are you kidding me?
I'm
like,
pop-ups.
You have to do this.
The thing is, I always think about taking out, me too. Like I feel bad sometimes, but then you look at those signups.
Exactly.
You look at those conversion rates.
Exactly. I mean, literally
like, okay, people are signing up.
Exactly. I'm like, you can give off 5%. Like it can be a tiny amount, but people will do it. Cause it's like, I mean, heck, why not? Like, I mean, even if I'm not going to buy something now, I'll use the code eventually, you know? And so that is a big source. But also when we're at Vince, we, you know, ask people to sign up for our mailing list there. When we, have been on like the TV shows and things like that. We've gotten some signups that direction. I'm trying to think of like other sources, but I think that's really been mostly it. The pop-up is like a big source of our signups.
Yes. I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, they've even kind of rebranded pop-ups so that we don't feel as bad as marketers. Yeah. You call them like the hello bar.
Yeah.
The welcome box.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that's what ours is, the welcome box.
What we're doing.
Yeah.
Welcome. We're welcoming people and we're saying hello. So just think of it like that because it actually works, you guys. You might think it's annoying, but do it, test it, and you will see that conversion rate is extraordinarily high.
And then also there's text. We also have, we just recently started doing the text message marketing as well, because I know for me, I sign up for mailing lists and I don't always see them because they go to that separate promotion box or whatever.
Right.
And so we actually also have a text membership and it's called like Puzzle Club. And so from there, people can get a discount and they also hear about like we had a flash sale for 2-2-2 day. And so, you know, they get like all kinds of random flash sales and perks from that as well.
Okay. When did you incorporate PR into your strategy? Was this another conscious decision or was it something that kind of came about through relationships and organically?
That was something that also again came this year. We were lucky that we kind of were able to ride the wave of the PR that we got last year. But we just were like, okay, we know that you know, we can't go to every event in every state. And so we need to get in front of people's faces in a different way. And another thing is like, we were predominantly on television, just like organically, because a lot of other, you know, once you've seen on one thing, you get picked up other places. But we were like, well, we want to get into magazines and all these other sources of media that we don't necessarily have an insight into. So that's where we were like, okay, let's see about hiring a PR person to help us with that endeavor.
Very smart, because yeah, you're right. There's so many places where your consumers are and they may not come across you. Is as awesome and amazing and far reaching as television is, you're not hitting everybody. Crazy enough, right?
I see Love is Blind and all kinds of random shows, and I'm like, I have Netflix, I have Hulu, I have so many things, and like We were on regular television. People, there are a lot of people who don't even have television anymore because they have all the streaming.
That's true.
I mean, it is exactly. A very saturated market there.
For sure. Now that you are in this space where you're doing so much more business, how are you juggling the full-time and the side hustle, making space for both? Especially in, are you virtual or are you going into the office?
Yes, we work virtually. I actually happen to be just off today, but I will tell you that is definitely a struggle, especially recently, is balancing and juggling. I also have a 2-year-old. And so I work a full job and I will work a full day of work. I actually just recently ended up sending her to daycare because she used to be at home with me on top of all of this. But sending her to daycare was a big help. I work a regular day job and then I take a break after she gets off of school and we have lunch and, you know, or dinner, and we play, and then I go back to work and I start working on Puzzles of Color at night. So it is a lot.
Wow. More power to you. I know about having that little 2-year-old coworker at home.
I know how that goes. It was magical when she was really, really little. I loved it. But once she got mobile, I was like, all right, you gotta get out of here. Love you, baby.
Yeah. It's just so cool to see them, though, what they're learning and how they're interacting with their little fellow, you know, short little people. So
exactly.
So before we get into the lightning round, I'd love to know a little bit more about how you guys are thinking about the business moving forward, you know, like how you're thinking of where you want to, how you want to expand it, or how do you want to maintain it in a way so that it allows you guys to not be so hands-on.
Yeah.
If you're starting to think through those things, like, I'd love to hear how you guys are approaching it.
Absolutely. Well, I will say we are very fortunate. Also, my dad is just retired fairly recently, like a few months ago. So he's able to really help take a little bit of the pressure off. And honestly, for us, because it is like such a family business and we're getting to spend so much time together, we have kept a lot of things that we didn't necessarily have to, because it was just nice to all be together. So we have kept a lot of things that we don't necessarily have to. But one thing we are working on is actually, we just started working with a company that can help us as far as like the retailers and getting into the retailer and managing that relationship, because that is one thing that I don't feel like I've been the best at, is keeping up the relationships once we've worked with them. And so we are just kind of thinking about like, what do we like to do and what do we not? Because either we pay ourselves or we pay somebody else, but it does have to get done. And so like, my brother loves the graphic design. He likes to create. So what are the other things that you're doing? And let's get those off of your plate. And same thing for me. I just hired somebody to handle our taxes because I cannot do it anymore. And so like, you know, kind of trying to figure out like, list all those things and what do you like to keep? What do you want to keep? And then what do you not like? And that's kind of been our approach.
Yes. And the good thing with listing too, is that you start to kind of write down what people need to help you with. Because when it's all in your head and you're just like, I just want a social media person, or I just want to, you know, this person to do this, it's like, well, what does that entail? What does that look like? How many hours does that require?
Exactly. And then you realize, you don't even realize how much you're doing because you're just so busy doing it.
Yeah.
And so like, definitely it's like, oh man,
and it comes easily
a lot of time on that stuff. And I, that's not the best use of my time. And so really that's been like the way we've kind of established, like, okay, I'm spending way too much time over here. I need to be doing this. Let's list it out and start knocking them out.
Yep. All right. So we're going to jump into a quick lightning round. You just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is the list. Like, of course, I have a puzzle company. I am a very analog person.
Yes.
And so I write things down. I can, you know, I can do a list on the computer, but it's not as effective for me as writing it down. So that is a resource that I use in a notepad. It's having a planner. Every year I buy a planner.
Okay. Number two, what's been the best business book or podcast episode or content that you use to feed your mind that you've consumed this year?
Very much podcast. I wish I had time to read. But I am like so swamped. So I definitely listen to a lot of podcasts, including yours. So I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you.
I also listen to, there's a podcast called CEO School that I listen to. Like, I listen to a lot of like podcasts about mom entrepreneurs, because I feel like it's another level when you have a little one and a business and all those things that you have to balance. Those kind of, you know, things that can help me to learn while I'm multitasking are really helpful.
Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your morning or day routine?
Dropping my child off at daycare.
That's right.
I'm telling you, the day, like, she's had like sniffles lately, and I'm like, knock that out. Get some Benadryl. You gotta go.
Oh man. And I really, you know, I hear you. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm lucky that because my dad is retired, I'm lucky that like if she really cannot go to daycare, I'm like, Dad, I need you to come pick her up. Like, I'll come to you, whatever.
My son is with his grandparents right now. Shout out to the grandparents. That's why we moved back to New York.
100%.
Like, he's not in daycare yet for, you know, a little bit while longer. So it's totally grandma, grandpa daycare. So thankful to them. So I couldn't do this episode with
you. Okay. My Papa Shark is what my baby calls him, is Papa Shark.
Let's go visit
Papa Shark.
Number four. Now, what is a personal habit that you think has contributed to your success?
I think the list, honestly, is a big thing. Like, and like the fact that I already am like a fairly organized person, that just helps. You know, there's so many things that you have to do as an entrepreneur. And so like, getting that stuff in order for yourself so that you can attack them is key.
And then finally, number five, what is your parting advice for fellow women side hustlers who want to pursue that idea but are just scared of going after it?
Oh, I mean, I think definitely look at the marketplace. And if it's a problem for you, it's probably a problem for somebody else. Like, I mean, there are so many things that you think that you're just the only one. Like, we didn't know that anybody else was looking for puzzles by Black people or puzzles by, you know, and we kind of just jumped out on faith, but like the response has been amazing. So I think like trust your gut is a big thing that we've had to do. And it's really guided us well.
All right. So where can people connect with Puzzles of Color after this episode? Where can we get our puzzles?
Sure, absolutely. We are puzzlesofcolor.com and at Puzzles of Color on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all of the above, TikTok. And then also we have a podcast where we interview our artists and we get like some feedback from them as far as like their creative process and the things that inspire and motivate them. So feel free to look for Vibing With on wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah.
I will link to that, you guys. All right. Well, Erica, thank you so much for being in the guest chair. I'm so excited to have you here. I can't wait for everyone to listen. And you guys, there you have it. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.